Democratic candidate Howard Dean is in Plains, Georgia today to join former President Jimmy Carter for worship at the Maranatha Baptist Church. Dean is not expected to come away with an endorsement from Carter, but the setting is ready-made to bolster recent efforts by the former Vermont governor to portray himself as a candidate committed to his faith. Democrats in general face the challenge of what sociologists are calling the religion gap. Studies suggest the Democratic Party has become the home of people who consider themselves secular or less religious, while the Republican Party has become a bastion of conservative evangelicals. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty spoke with voters at the polls for this past week's Washington, D.C. non-binding Democratic primary. She prepared this report.
On this bitter cold and windy night, a dozen or so emerged from the Methodist church where they voted. For most, it was the only time they've entered a church in a long time. We asked them what they thought of all the talk of religion in this campaign. Typical were Megan Nash and Scott, who would give only his first name.
I feel that there's a coupling of right-wing and reactionary and Christian guiding principles as opposed to a value. This is no longer a Christian-only society, and we have to recognize that.
I don't want a preacher in the White House, and I don't want a politician in a church. George Bush makes me vomit every time he talks religion and prayer and Jesus, because not everybody's a Jesus guy.
But many people are, and they can be found at Virginia's McLean Bible Church, 15 miles and a political universe away. At this evening service, 150 people sway to the praise music, eyes closed, hands raised in worship. These evangelical Christians, most of whom come to church at least once a week, say faith is at the center of their lives. And for Kathy Young and Randolph Maxwell, only the Republican Party shares their values.
I am now a Republican. I grew up in a Democratic household, and I tried very hard to understand the Democratic Party and didn't find a home there.
Why not?
My beliefs, moral issues that I would disagree with the Democratic Party, issues of abortion, issues of faith-based education, prayer in schools, that kind of thing.
People are having to choose the left or the right, moving more towards godly principles or moving away. And I think that's what we're seeing in our society today, this polarization.
Maxwell appears to be right in that. According to a poll by the Pew Research Center, 63% of people who attend church more than once a week vote Republican. 62% of people who seldom or never go to church vote Democratic. But it wasn't always this way. Jeffrey Lehman, a political historian at Vanderbilt University, says in the 1960s, the Democratic Party was, if anything, more religiously traditional and conservative than the Republican Party.
You had conservative evangelical Protestants, Southern Baptists, you had Catholics, you had African Americans who on average are much more religiously committed than whites as a group. And then the Republican coalition was mainline or liberal Protestants.
That seemed to shift in the 1960s and was evident by the 1972 presidential campaign.
The senator from South Dakota and the next president of the United States, George McGovern.
McGovern's campaign was fueled by young, liberal activists. 25% of the delegates described themselves as secular, having no religious beliefs. That compared with 5% of the population. In hindsight, says Louis Bolsey at the City University of New York, the infusion of these people was a pivotal moment for the party.
Secularists, less religious people, people committed to countercultural values, gained greater influence in the party, and that set up a whole chain of reaction within both parties, the effects we're feeling today.
He says the Democratic Party's liberal stance on social issues drove the evangelicals into the arms of the Republicans. Meanwhile, liberal Protestants were repelled by the takeover of the Republicans by the Christian right. John Green at the University of Akron says the two extremes set the tenor of each party.
The secular activists were very adamant and zealous about their particular issues and pushed very hard for the Democratic Party to adopt liberal positions on social issues. A very similar thing happened in the Republican Party, where the zealous activists of the religious right pushed very hard for the GOP to adopt conservative positions on social issues.
Green notes that the non-believers were and are a small, if influential, minority in the Democratic Party. But even among the religious of both parties, he says, there's a difference in how they approach morality.
The traditionally religious tend to define morality in personal terms, personal misbehavior, sexual conduct, the personal treatment of other people. On the other hand, less traditional religious people tend to think of morality in broader, more macro terms, questions such as the structure of society, the distribution of income, the status of war and peace between nations. So it's not that we have a moral group opposing an immoral group, but rather we have a disagreement about how to think about morality.
When Bill Clinton began running for president in 1992, he embodied the Democratic values and yet could speak the evangelical language of a Baptist preacher.
I am grateful that I was born in a country where my faith can be powerful because it is a voluntary offering of a free and joyous spirit.
He won over many Catholics and moderate Protestants, but according to Jeff Lehman at Vanderbilt, evangelicals were gone for good.
I think Bill Clinton, in fact, served to further repel evangelicals from the Democratic Party. His personal lifestyle, the scandals associated with his administration, served as sort of a symbol for conservative Christians of what's wrong with the Democratic Party and perhaps what's wrong with American society more generally.
Since then, Lehman says, the United States has become more religiously conservative and more secular. The moderate middle has shrunk. And yet, 70% of Americans still want the president to be a man of faith. Amy Sullivan is formerly with the Pew Research Center and is conducting research on the religion gap.
Religion seems to be a marker. What it does is signal to people that this candidate believes in something more than themselves.
President Bush, who says he's a born-again Christian, invokes the language of the Bible in speeches large and small. Here, the book of Isaiah after the fiery destruction of the space shuttle Columbia.
The same creator who names the stars also knows the names of the seven souls we mourn today.
Sullivan says most Democrats today seem uncomfortable with religious language. In part, she says, that's because many Democratic campaign strategists are not religious themselves. She recalls listening in on a conference call between Wesley Clark and his campaign supporters after Clark announced his candidacy.
Just in 5 minutes of talking to them, he dropped a few biblical allusions, not to impress them, but because it's who he is, it's how he talks. And yet, at the end of the call, some of them were saying, did he say something about a lion? And I had to explain to them, no, he said David and Goliath. He was making a reference to the story of David and Goliath.
But to win the presidency, she and others say, a Democratic candidate has to court those religious voters who are up for grabs, mainly conservative Catholics and moderate evangelicals. It's a political reality that Howard Dean, a Catholic turned Episcopalian turned Congregationalist, now confronts. Dean recently said, like many New Englanders, he's not used to talking about his faith, but that will have to change.
I've spent a lot of time in the South. I have a lot of friends from the South. In the South, people do integrate religion openly, easily, into their life, both black Southerners and white Southerners. I understand that if I'm going to campaign for the presidency of the United States, I have to be comfortable in the milieu that other Americans are comfortable, not just for my own region, for everywhere else.
If he wins the nomination, the question will be whether those he's talking religion to will be listening. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.